Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
We're reading today from Judges 6, the call of Gideon. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in a winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, "Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us to the hand of Midian." And the Lord turned to him and said, Go in this might of yours, and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?" And he said to him, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man." And he said to him, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. Please do not depart from me here until I come to you and bring out my present and set it before you." And he said, "I will stay till you return." So Gideon went into his house and prepared a young goat and unleavened cakes from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket and the broth he put in a pot, and he brought them to him under the terebinth and presented them. And the angel of the Lord God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened cakes and put them on this rock. Pour the broth over them." And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord reached out the tip of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and unleavened cakes. And fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened cakes. And the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. Then Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. And Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord God said to him, "Peace be to you. Do not fear. You shall not die." Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day, it still stands at Ophrah, which belongs to the Abizrites.
Thank you, Lord, that you are a Lord of Peace, that you've called each and every one of us to this place today. Maybe for the first time to find your peace, maybe to remind ourselves. But Lord, thank you for being here with us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Welcome to Every Nation Brisbane Central. How's everyone doing this morning? Is there some energy in the house? Oh, good. Yes, I'm feeling very energetic this morning myself. Had my Weet-Bix, had my water, feeling great. I have the wonderful privilege to bring you the word today. And we're just going to jump straight in. So I really recommend that we've got a lot of scripture to go through today to chew on. I really recommend that you just grab your iPad out or your iPhone or your book or however you take some notes and get ready to unpack this together. You guys ready for this? All right. So we're in Judges. We're in Judges 6, 11 to 24. Thanks for reading that for us, B. And just before I carry on, I'll just say, in case you don't know me, but I'm looking around the room, I think the most of you should. My name's Mark. I'm the Youth and Campus Minister here at Every Nation Brisbane Central. I love serving the church in this way with our youth and on the campuses. And if you want to get involved with the youth or the campuses, come and see me. Let's get into it. All right. So we're in the Awesome God Global Series, as you've seen from Pastor Steve there. And in this series, we're examining the awesomeness of God through encounters with men and women. And in each instance, there's a particular name that God reveals. So this week, the name is Jehovah Shalom. Ready to jump right in? Okay, let's do it. So we're in Judges 6 to 11. And just to give you a little bit of background here, Judges, they're not like, you know, in case you're thinking this is like a courtroom and we're like in some type of court of law here, that's not what's happening. The judges are tribal leaders of Israel. And this book, it chronicles the Israelites deserting their values and obedience of towards God, and they take on the values of their pagan neighbors. So it's a spiral from there. It's told in six distinct episodes, and in each episode, there's an observable pattern. And the pattern is sin, then slavery, then supplication, and salvation. So today we're going to start on just, we'll be focusing in on one of the starts of one of these episodes, which is Gideon, and what God revealed about himself. So as we arrive at the start of chapter 6, there had been 40 years of peace, but the Israelites, they had descended into evil. God gave them over to the Midianites, and they fled into caves, they'd plant crops, and by the time it came to harvest time, the Midianites were all in there, like they just got in there and took it. In fact, the scripture says that they were like locusts in number when they would plunder it. So the Israelites, desperate, they cried out for God's help. What do you think God did? He responded. So God responded and he reminded them that he had delivered them out of Egypt and out of the hands of all oppressors. But he did say this. He said, "You had not obeyed my voice." Their situation, it wasn't the result of God abandoning them. It was the result of them abandoning God. So let's insert Gideon, and where we take off here in Judges 6, we'll see what God reveals about himself. So our first scripture here. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth, and Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So just in case you're wondering, well, what's a terebinth, Mark? I don't know what a terebinth is. It's a tree, okay? It's a tree. We cool with that? So, angel of the Lord sitting under a tree. Good place to sit. And my first observation here is that Gideon, he's using the wrong tool for the job. Did you pick that up? Check this out. This visual really helps. Wine press on the left, and then we have a wheat threshing floor on the right. So as you can see, very different tools. The wine press is all down in the ground, and it's got this wall around it, and the wheat threshing floor is all open field. So the reason is because in the wheat threshing field, you've got the beasts trampling the wheat so the chaff can go out into the wind and it separates the grain from it. That's why it's like that, all open field, all good. You need the wind to blow away all the chaff. But in a wine press, hey, I don't know about you, but you don't want no grass in your wine, man. Not. Oh, let's go Coke. You don't want to go to Macca's, get your large Coke, and I'll have some grass in that. No. They're threshing the stamping the grapes. Stamping the grapes. They don't want the wind in. They want the wind out. So why is Gideon doing this? Can you imagine? He wants the chaff away, but the chaff can't blow out. There's a reason for this. Why is he using the wrong tool? He's scared. The guy's scared. Anyone being scared? I'm a little bit scared right now. Okay, so he's scared. And what is absent of you when you're in that state of being scared or have fear? You don't have peace. In fact, it's the furthest thing away from you, right? So Gideon doesn't have peace. He's scared. So it's really clear that is not an adjective you would use to describe Gideon in his situation right now. Gideon doesn't have peace. So what can we take away from this? Well, one, right, you don't have to be in the best position of your life for God to call you. Gideon has clearly seen better days than the one that he's in right now, right? How about this nugget? God doesn't necessarily call the equipped, but he definitely equips the called. And we're going to see that as we unpack the call of Gideon here. You see, when we're outside of the calling that God has on our lives, peace is fleeting. If it's existent at all. Gideon certainly doesn't have it at this point. Let's go through to our next scripture. You guys keeping up? Okay, so the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. So it's clear that Gideon isn't a warrior at this stage in his life, is he? He's a scaredy cat. Bless him. He's hungry. He's scared. He's not a warrior. But why did the angel do this? Why did he call him something clearly that he isn't? Well, God is calling out of Gideon here, not what Gideon sees in himself, but what God sees in him. Very important. See, we can learn from this. God calls us for his purpose, not based on our strength, but his strength. It's his strength. That's what's happening here. So in our lives, when we learn to hear God's voice, his words over the enemy, we can have assurance. And it leads to peace. I just pose this question to you right now. Jehovah Shalom is calling you. Are you listening? Are you listening? Next scripture here. And Gideon said to him, please, my Lord. Actually, it's probably more said like this. Gideon said to him, please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us to the hand of Midian. This is a sarcastic tone, right? Are you picking that up when you read that? Please, my Lord. I also notice when I was really reading this, I'm like, Gideon hasn't even stopped his work. So an angel of the Lord's come down, sat under a tree, and he's just still going for it. Still busy, working away as a scaredy cat with his inefficient tool. He's heard someone say, hey, you're a mighty man. And he's like, yeah, whatever. He's just carrying on with his work. But he's chucking a tanty. You guys know what a tanty is? Any of my parents up in the, you know, I know, you go, hey, I work with youth, man. I know what a tanty is. Probably a little bit more common in kids' church, but hey, parents, feel me. You know what a tanty is, right? Aunts and uncles, feel me, right? Older brothers, you feel me too, right? Younger brother, chuck tanties, man. He's chucking a tanty. He's sarcastic, and he's clearly presenting an inaccurate version of facts here, right? What he's saying is not true. It's not true. We do this too. Sometimes it's really uncomfortable to face the fruit of your sin. And where you find yourself right now is a result of your own hand, of your own sowing. We do it too. It's classic blame shifting. Because God clearly communicated to them that you hadn't obeyed my voice. I'll put this question to you. This might be a bit heavy. Brace yourself. Are you braced? Click your seatbelt in quick. Click it in. Let me see you click it in. Is our own blame shifting robbing us of peace? Glad you put a seatbelt on, right? Yeah. Yes. Health, wealth, job, joy, calling. Is your own blame shifting robbing you of peace? Yeah, it's quiet. It's cool. I got my seatbelt on too. We're good. Do we need to look up from our own busyness to see who's speaking to us? You see, we lose reverence for God. And instead, we give reverence to the task or situation that we're doing, often inefficiently. And then when we find ourselves working away in vain, in fear, in panic, with an inefficient tool, clearly not enjoying things, no peace, are we giving reverence to that task instead of God? See, we're really without peace in this state. But good news, God always wants to restore your peace. All you need to do is pick up your Bible. And some people fall short and they'll try and break down the Bible to you, or they might have read the first part, and then they'll be like, oh, this God in your Bible is like, he's so mean. But no, you stop reading. You stop reading. There's redemption over and over and over again. Right? So let's read on. God wants to restore your peace. Say that right now. God wants to restore my peace. Claim that. I want to hear you say that. Say that right now. God wants to restore my peace. Next scripture here. And the Lord turned to him. He said, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do I not send you? Now, what is this might that he's referring to? Again, God is calling out of Gideon what he sees in him, not what Gideon sees in himself. We're cool with that? Okay, we find peace when we don't find ourselves in a situation of striving. In fact, striving is a big red flag, isn't it? What is required of us is already in us. It's God's Spirit. It's already in us. Next scripture. And he said to him, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest, and I'm the least in my father's house. Okay. Gideon's making a multi-generational claim to God, or excuse to God, about why he can't do it. It's not only now about Gideon's weakness, but now he's saying it's my family's weakness. He's making a multi-generational case to God. He would rather stay in his place of fear and inefficiency than walk into his God-given destiny, right? It's crazy. It's crazy, but this is what fear does. And is there any wonder you might have this feeling of little or fleeting peace if you find your posture resembles this? True? What about this? You might not come from a pedigree line for your calling. What do I mean by that? Well, Your dad might not be Dave Gilmour, guitar player from Pink Floyd. But if God's called you to go and play your guitar for God, you go play your guitar for God. It don't matter if no one in your family plays guitar. If you've been called to be a lawyer and go and defend the rights of the weak, and there's no money in your family or no whatever in your family, you go do it. If God calls you to go and work at McDonald's, you go do it. You don't have to be from a pedigree line. You don't have to come from this line of successes. No, God equips you. God equips the called. So you don't need to use that as an excuse. You don't need to use this as an excuse of, well, my family has this problem. Oh, my parents had this problem. No, you don't need to use this excuse. Here is your identity. You are a called son or daughter of Christ. You are born into a royal line. This is the truth. That's it. It's really easy. So walking in God's calling can lead us to face some really uncomfortable truths about ourselves, though. And this might be one of them. Dealing with some things in your family might be one of them. But it's okay. God's calling is high. He will equip the called. Peace comes through this. And the Lord said to him, but I'll be with you, and you will strike the Midianites as one man. Well, God, this is God's response to our inadequacies. But I'm with you. The voices. No, doesn't matter. But I'm with you. That's enough. Not only is it enough, it unites us all as well. It's great. I'm going to leave that one there. So this is Gideon saying, if now I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that is you who speaks to me. Please don't depart from here until I come to you and bring out my present that I set before you. And he said, I'll stay until you return. When I read this, I see procrastination from Gideon. And as someone who's really prone to procrastination, I just see this as another excuse. And when you start to see where he's come from and everything that he's been saying, this just looks like another excuse. It's a challenge. It's a roadblock. He wants inaction. Alternatively, all I see is God's promise. God still responds, I'll wait for you, Gideon. I want to encourage you this morning too, that your calling in God has not left you. It hasn't left you. Regardless of what life or 2020 has done or taken out of the momentum of that, God foreseen it. He's accounted for it. God is with you. As soon as you start walking in this lane, in this calling, regardless of the circumstance, God is going to give you peace. There will be peace in that place. He's your Jehovah Shalom. Am I going too fast through these scriptures? Are you guys keeping up? We're good? Okay. So Gideon went into his house and prepared a young goat and unleavened cakes from the ephah of flour. The meat he put in his basket, the broth in the pot, he brought them underneath the terebinth and presented them. And the angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened cakes and put them on this rock and pour the broth over them. And he did. I know what you're thinking here, right? There can't be anything in this. What are you talking about, man? What are you talking about? But there is. God's word is amazing like this. There is meaning everywhere. A young goat is enough for a party. Man, I have been to some intense Pinoy feasts. There have been a pig on the table. Some islander feast too, man. Pig on the table. I was at Jay's birthday last year, man. There was a pig on the table. There was a room full of people. There was still pig left over, man. One little piece can feed a lot of people. So Gideon's gone and got a young goat. It's enough for a party. He makes a bread out of an ephah of flour. I know what you're thinking. What's an ephah? I thought the same thing when I read it. It's 35 liters of flour. I have a bread machine at home. I love making bread because I love the smell. I put 2 cups of flour. That's about maybe 300, 400 grams of flour, right? To make a big loaf of bread. I'm talking big country loaf, right? This guy made bread from 35 liters of flour. Dang. And broth to fill a pot. My wife cooks the best soup. She also cooks 15 liters of it at a time and we eat it for weeks, right? Serious, man. That's a lot, right? The point is this took a long time. You don't make 35 liters of bread It's not. He didn't just make a toasted sandwich for dinner, man. This took a long time. How long does it take to cook that goat, man? It's an overnight thing. This guy went to work, right? And all in, remember his situation. He was hiding because the Midianites were stealing their food, so food was at a rarity. So he already had plenty in the bank too, but old Gideon, old terrified Gideon, still, I need more. Man, all right, but I'll pose this question to you. Are we looking at an old school Gordon Ramsay here, a proud chef, or a procrastinating fool? Did he do all of this because he was a proud chef? His posture, he might have been, but his posture at this point doesn't suggest that. I think Gideon was procrastinating. Yeah. But aside from Gideon, God said he waited. I'll wait for you, Gideon. That's important. As I said in my last point, your calling hasn't left you either. Whatever momentum was taken out from 2020 or life or losing the job or the income changed or the whatever, the circumstance changed, whatever, God foreseen it. It's really important that we just step back in and go, God, you equip the called. Then the angel of the Lord reached out the tip of his staff that was in his hand. He touched the meat and the cakes. Fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the cakes. And the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. And Gideon perceived that he had seen an angel of the Lord. And Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." This is Gideon's fear showing again. This isn't oh my goodness, do you know what happened? Oh, man, I just saw an angel. No, that was not it. Gideon was terrified. He thought he was going to die. Fear's back. Fear is back. The first observation here is with God, the miraculous happens, right? The food was laid out and wet. Have you ever tried to start a wet fire? Man, I have. It's hard work, right? Angel of the Lord, just boom. Pour that broth over it. Boom. Done. Amazing. That's a miracle. It's a miracle. Secondly, I want to encourage you with this. We might not ever see God face to face or hear his voice audibly, but that does not mean that God is not speaking to you and guiding you, right? We receive counsel from the saints. When was the last time you picked up your Bible reading God's word or God doesn't talk to me? Did you pick up your Bible, my friend? Did you pray? Does all your prayer look like amen? Does it ever go, God, thank you. What are you doing? Are you listening back? God is speaking, my friends, very, very clearly and loudly to you. The other thing is when we find ourselves in a place of prayer, when we find ourselves reading our Bibles, when we find ourselves hearing counsel from the saints, there's a lot of peace from that, right? You're in a place of peace. In all of these endeavors, we find God's peace. But the Lord said to him, "Peace be with you, don't fear, you shall not die." This one echoes with you today. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. Peace be with you. Turn to the person next to you. Tell them, "Peace be with you." In case you haven't heard the gospel before. In short, God sent his one and only Son to live the life that we should have lived, died the death that we should have died, to pay for our sin so that we could be reconciled to the Father. And in him we can have life eternal. This is the promise. Have you reminded yourself of this of late? This is the promise. Peace be with you. Don't fear. There's no need to fear. You shall not die. This body might wilt, but it's the same as it's the same thing as a tomato in the ground. The tomato fruit has to die so that the seed can come out and dry out, and then it can be raised again into a wonderful vine. It just changes its form. This is God's promise. This will happen to us. This is a process for us too. Everyone who chooses to turn their back on their way and turn to God and say, Yahweh, I turn away from my rubbish and I turn to you, God. You in control. You're calling on my life. It's an amazing promise. Peace be with you. And then Gideon, he built an altar there for the Lord and called it, the Lord is peace. To this day, it still stands. Gideon had been in the wrestle. And I want to remind you too, it's okay to be in the wrestle. All struggling with God in faith leads to growth and peace. It was true of Jacob and Gideon and you. So Gideon built this altar to remind himself and others that the Lord is peace. He is Jehovah Shalom, your peace. I want to leave you with this. Without peace, nothing is of value. You can achieve your wildest dream and it will be ash in your mouth without peace. Think about it. Think about the biggest thing you want to achieve in life. Think about it now. I know you can. Think about it. And now remove peace from the equation. It's ash in our mouths. It's not worth anything. But in Jesus, we have peace. He is the Prince of Peace. This is why we put our faith in Him. He's our Jehovah Shalom. So we reached the end. I know that was a lot of scripture heavy. Let's take some time to just have a little bit of discussion on this. And I just want to, just before we go to this, I just want to share with you that before I was a Christian, when I walked into this house, I don't know how long ago, maybe 4 years ago, I wasn't a Christian when I came here. I gave my life to Christ here. I came to a saving knowledge of Jesus in this house, and I had no peace. I had no peace. I had spent a decade of my life drinking so much because I was trying to medicate to get peace. And one of the most valuable things to me as a Christian, putting my faith in Jesus, is the peace that comes with that. I have peace. It doesn't mean that I have peace all the time, guys. I'm not going to tell you that. Sometimes I get anxious sometimes. But I also know the truth. And I can come to God and say, God, I know that you are the Prince of Peace and that you will restore my peace. Lord, please restore my peace. And do you know what happens? He restores my peace. And He wants to restore your peace too. You don't have to be shackled by anxiety right now. You don't have to be shackled by this, by a depression. No, your identity is a son or daughter of the Lord Most High, and you are called to peace. Peace is your inheritance. Claim it. Step out in boldness today and make that claim. And turn away from your rubbish. Turn away from that stuff that we call sin and do the 180 towards God and say, I don't have this. But you have this, and watch your peace be restored. Watch your calling be restored. I can stand here and testify to it truthfully to you right now. You will have that peace. So I encourage you in this time of discussion, if this is something that has triggered on your heart, even if you're at home right now, we can pray about it. Send a message on the thread there, and we have a prayer team already there to pray for you. If you're here in the house today, let's pray through it, guys. That's what we do. We pray through it. We don't turn away from it. We pray through it. Let's pray through it, and let's see God miraculously heal today, because He did then, and He does now. Okay? So bless you. Let's discuss.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.